Hello and welcome to Command F, a podcast that aims to find exceptional people, places, and things in Eastern Iowa and beyond. I'm very pleased to introduce you all to someone that, quite honestly, many of you probably already know. We're joined on the show today by Iowa City transplant Simeon Talley. Simeon came to Iowa in 2008 as part of the Barack Obama presidential campaign. At the conclusion of his campaign work, Simeon attended the University of Iowa before becoming a serial entrepreneur. Today, he has helped build numerous Iowa brands that stand at the intersection of fashion, politics, and art. Hello, Simeon.
What's up, Alex?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm okay, man. Thanks for having me on.
No, I really appreciate you taking the time to come.
Yeah.
It's been really funny. I was trying to do a little bit of homework on you before I had you on the show, and you seem to have made the circuit in terms of any local production that's trying to feature interesting people.
I've been very fortunate to get some really good coverage of some of the projects I've been able to work on.
Excellent. Well, like I said, I'm not the first publication in the community that has tried to feature you, and I have a strong suspicion that I'm not going to be the last one. But rather than explore what people have already said about you, I'd actually be really interested to know how you define yourself. So what are you known for here in Eastern Iowa?
I think maybe that would depend on who you ask, to be honest. I think a lot of people are aware of the work we've done with Iowa Fashion Project and Flyover Fashion Fest and trying to cultivate and build a fashion community in Iowa City, Eastern Iowa, and even across the state. Some folks are more familiar with some of my political work, with a political party, or even my political past, working and coming to Iowa to work on the Barack Obama campaign. But I think some folks are probably associate me with being behind new and emerging ideas and projects and efforts like RAD or like the political party or like, you know, bringing new events to life in the community. So I just hope people, I hope that people think of me as a guy who is genuinely interested in building community and making this community more accessible to more and more people.
Would it be fair to describe you as almost like an entrepreneurial fixer and community builder?
I wouldn't give myself that title, you know. I would never say that I know how to fix things, but I do think that I've been able to learn how to build things and get things started and get people excited about a new idea.
Tell us about some of the projects that you have worked on. I mean, you mentioned a few, RAD, the political party, et cetera.
Yeah.
Kind of give us a quick rundown of your resume, if you would.
Oh, man. Yeah. So RAD is probably the latest project. It's a new space in downtown Iowa City. And RAD stands for Retail Art and Design. And it's meant to be an incubator, a more creative entrepreneur, artist incubator. But you know, more than incubating business ideas or helping people make more money off their creative passions or what they love to do. We focus or we try to be an incubator of people. What are the personal, professional development steps that an individual can take to realize how do I have an idea and make it something more tangible? So that's RAD. Flyover Fashion Fest, we just wrapped our second year of Flyover Fashion Fest, which is a two-day fashion, music, and art festival, which features emerging fashion and creative talent, not only in Iowa, but across the Midwest. So that was an amazing year, and we're looking forward to the next. Iowa Fashion Project, we do events in Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, and in Des Moines, you know, elevating local fashion talent, designers, brands, entrepreneurs through fashion shows, but also opportunities for those brands and those designers to connect with the community as well. And then the political party, which is an effort to engage young people in Iowa in the political process in a more creative and consistent manner. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, our initial starting point with political party was that there's this huge ramp up every 4 years or maybe sometimes every 2 years if you have a, you know, depending on, you know, what's happening in that midterm cycle, asking young people to vote, asking young people to get involved in political campaigns, asking young people to participate in the political process. But immediately after that campaign, there's a precipitous decline in what young people are asked to do or the opportunities that they've been given to engage in the political process. So we thought, let's, you know, continue to engage young people in politics through events, but let's, you know, add arts and culture and make it much more of a dynamic, diverse collection and display of young people and incorporate those people into how they can be involved in politics. And so now we've been focused on the Political Party Live podcast, which is a political podcast, which, you know, intermixes politics and culture and whatnot.
It's really interesting to get to meet people like you in our community. And I think the thing that resonated most with me is this concept of you not investing so much in brands or even ideas, but actually in people. So tell me a little bit more about what RAD is and how it invests in people.
So RAD really got its start a couple years ago. So I had my own t-shirt brand in line, and I was trying to place it in different storefronts and figure out different consignment agreements with various boutiques. But the consignment agreement that I would get would, you know, take so much of my margin that I really couldn't develop my brand. So then I turned to trying to do pop-up events. Mm-hmm. Actually, the building that we're in right now, which is Sculpt, I did my first pop-up event for my t-shirt line, Guns and Butter, a couple years ago. So then I sort of like doubled down on the pop-up model. But it was really, really tough to find space, open space, flexible space, cool spaces to do these pop-up events. So that was a very real pain point and a roadblock at that point in time in my life to sort of developing my brand. So like the initial seeds of RAD as a concept were planted then. And so when this space came available in downtown Iowa City, the space that used to be the Den, we jumped on it. And we made a very quick decision to just, you know, make this space happen, to take ownership of it, and to make it a flexible pop-up retail event and sort of artist studio space. So we want to do all different types of events. We had a art installation last night. We've had a nonprofit launch. We've had dance parties. We've had photography exhibits. We've had punk rock shows. Hopefully we're going to collaborate with Augustin to a pop-up dinner. But it's meant to lower the barrier to entry. The people want to do events or programming or brands or trying to sell product, to lower the barrier to entry to do that in downtown Iowa City. And, you know, space, affordable space, but flexible space is doesn't come around very often. So we decided to take on this project and to make it as affordable and as accessible and to be as flexible to as many people as possible. So that's right.
Tell me a little bit about how someone who has an idea and has a need could get in touch with RAD. What do they need to do? How do you find the people that you're featuring in your space?
Yeah, I think that's actually something we could do probably a lot better at. But right now, a lot of it's on social media, promoting the events that we have and just making open calls for events, you know, of asking people, hey, if you want to do something, get in contact with us. And a lot of it's just individual outreach as well. You know, I've been doing this for maybe 2 or 3 years. And so you get a sense of people that are doing things or that might need space or the different pockets of the community that are involved in this type of work, or there might be, you know, a potential collaboration. So just reaching out to those people and saying, hey, this space is available. Would you be interested? Hey, would you be interested in having that event that I saw you did maybe last year at RAD? And going at it that way.
I think you alluded to this a little bit when you sort of talked about the inspiration behind RAD and your own struggle launching Guns and Butter. But tell me, why is something like RAD so important to the community here in Iowa City?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we hope, you know, if we're successful, we will have worked with and played a part in incubating the next generation of brick and mortar businesses or creative, successful businesses that stay in downtown Iowa City. Hopefully, you know, we will have played a role in helping those people mature professionally, individually, business-wise. And I think that's a really important but exciting, you know, thing or opportunity to have. You know, in every city you go to, the barriers to entry to starting a business, having an idea, starting a business, growing it, making it profitable, making it sustainable, every city has those challenges, right? Mm-hmm. And so Iowa City, you know, some of the unique pain points that exist here are space, affordable space? What are access to some of the resources that really help you professionalize your business? You know, a lot of people are working on that side project or that side hustle at home or in the basement or on the weekends or at night every day they get off work. You know, how do you take that thing that you're good at, probably really good at, that you're skilled at, that you're incredibly passionate about, and turning it into a livelihood, something that can support yourself, turning it to a business, and being the next brick and mortar business that's in downtown Iowa City for the next 15 to 20 years. We hope that RAD can lower the barrier, make it easier for people to kind of figure that out, and then provide direct supports and resources to those individuals.
So I think we've talked quite a bit about the types of services that RAD provides in terms of space and affordability and lowering the barrier to entry. I'm intrigued about some of the other things you mentioned, particularly the concept of personal and professional development as part of RAD's incubating role. Tell me what your approach is to that and how people benefit from that approach.
Yeah, I think a lot. There's one thing that we're rolling up very soon that I'm excited about. It's a conversation series called Brick and Mortar. So what it will be is an event every single month, once a month, that highlights an existing downtown Iowa City business or entrepreneur, creative entrepreneur that's been somewhat successful or that's wildly successful, and let's have a conversation. Let's go way back to the starting point of your, when you had an idea, when you attempted to start a business, and break down how you built this. How did you have an idea? Like, what were your pain points then? How did you move past those? What were the people? What were the resources that were helpful that you took advantage of? And hopefully that conversation is helpful, but it's practical. People can use it and learn from it and demystify, for example, Veronica Tesler has Utopia. But I imagine there were some significant challenges when she first opened her business or when she decided to open up a frozen yogurt shop, which had not been done in Iowa City yet, that she had to get past. And I suspect that, some of the things that she worked through can be incredibly helpful to emerging entrepreneurs or people that are looking, to take that leap of faith in, as well. So.
Excellent. So it sounds like RAD is not just about incubation, but also almost like one-to-many mentorship in terms of discovering the stories of brick-and-mortar businesses.
Yeah, I think a lot of incubation is mentorship, connecting, people, entrepreneurs to mentors who have done similar things or that can provide value or that can provide help or insight into, how do you develop, how do you grow a business, how do you sustain a business, how do you avoid some of the mistakes that most entrepreneurs or most, first time business owners make, I think a lot of incubation, a good portion of incubating people and incubating businesses, appropriately pairing someone with a great mentor that is can not only, provide knowledge and expertise and insight, but that cares about the investment in the individual as well.
I think that sort of segues into this concept that you talk a lot about, and you even mentioned it at the top of our show today. You are principally perhaps a community builder. Tell me what community means to you.
Yeah, I think when I talk about community building, I come from the perspective that I want the community I live in to be cool, fun, creative, dynamic, lots of arts, lots of culture, lots of fun things to do, but also accessible, also approachable, also inclusive, also a place where if you have an idea, you don't spend a lot of time in the wilderness figuring out, well, who can help me? How do I plug in? What's my entry point into the entrepreneurial community or the artistic community, or the fashion community, a community that's my vision of community. And so when I talk about community building, that's what I mean. Making it more accessible to more and more people, having more and more people feel like empowered and that if they have something they want to do, regardless of what it is, if it's frozen yogurt, if it's an art gallery, if it's a new app, if it's a new restaurant, that this community is there to support you, is there to help you, and that you can figure out, you know, how to move that idea forward.
Every time I hear you talk about community, I feel like you usually pair it with a conversation around collaboration. Why is collaboration so important to community building and so important to projects like RAD?
I just think that, you know, collaborating and collaborating with like-minded organizations or people are figuring out ways to break down silos that exist. It's just an effective a way to do things, to get things started, to have successful events, successful businesses, successful programming. I just believe in that concept, particularly breaking down silos, working, you know, across different spaces or sectors that traditionally haven't necessarily worked with each other before, helps make the idea that you're working on stronger, helps refine it, helps open yourself up to blind spots. In a very practical sense, I think, you know, when producing and programming events, collaborating with other organizations, you know, gets their community, their network, the folks that support that group invested, you know, in the event. So that's sort of why I think collaboration is important and why I try to work very collaboratively. And another more practical aspect of it, I will, you know, never present myself as the guy who has all the best ideas, who's the smartest guy in the room 100% of the time. You know, there are things I don't know. There are things I'm not good at. But, you know, I can probably find someone else or another organization or, you know, this other thing that can, you know, that provides value, that adds something or adds a skill set or adds an expertise where I'm just woefully deficient at, you know? And so I think sometimes collaboration is a must, it's necessary.
This isn't your first venture into community building or even, I don't know if you view yourself as a brand builder or an entrepreneur, but I think that those are probably fair titles that sort of estimate what you do.
Well, that sounds really nice. Thank you.
So if this isn't your first venture into community building or entrepreneurship, how have the things that you have learned through some of the previous projects that we've discussed influenced your work at RAD?
My approach is, you know, to embrace the possibility of failure, you know, not to be ever afraid or scared that what I'm doing or this idea or this project might ultimately not be successful. To me, that's okay. But you know, what you can learn from every effort or every endeavor, every activity, you know, you can learn, you know, how to make things happen, how to start an idea, how to launch something, how to instigate this thing that you want to see happen and exist in the world, whether, you know, ultimately that thing is a successful or a failure or not. You know, there are, you know, assets, resources, connections, insights that you pick up along the way. For example, Guns and Butter, when I first started my t-shirt, my political t-shirt, and I thought this was going to revolutionize the fashion industry, change the world. I thought we were going to, you know, politics and culture and, you know, fashion. So cool. It was the, you know, it's still during the Obama administration, the second term of the Obama administration. You know, we're going to change things, right? We didn't, but I learned some very important lessons, some practical and some more philosophical about, you know, starting something. On a more practical side, I learned that when it comes to clothing, you know, the amount of inventory you have and the amount of inventory that you realistically think you can go through, that's a very, you need to spend some time thinking through that. I remember my first t-shirt order, I bought something like 200 t-shirts without any pathway or any real understanding of how to sell or move those t-shirts, you know? So then I was stuck with just a bunch of t-shirts in my basement in boxes, giving them away to friends. People would come over, hey guys, you want a t-shirt? Sure. You know? So, you know, that's, you know, that's a pretty basic, simple example. But I've learned that, you know, in doing some other things, I've learned it's opened me up to a broader network of people that are supportive of these types of endeavors and that want to see, you know, their, you know, their vision for community aligns with, you know, the vision I have. And so it's really opened me up to work with more people and partner with people with resources, with greater expertise and greater business experience, which has been tremendously beneficial.
Given that with RAD, you're now an incubator rather than just a pure play entrepreneur, how has that changed your perspective on building community or starting an idea?
My position at RAD and RAD is sort of the role I've played throughout all of my projects. I think all the things I've done, you know, have had, even if it's been my own entrepreneurial thing or Iowa Fashion Project or Flyover Fashion Fest or even political party or some of the other things that are happening, they've all been done with building community in mind and bringing people together that, you know, may have not worked together before, or that maybe this neglected or underrepresented community of folks, say for instance, fashion in Iowa, fashion designers, brands and whatnot, bringing more attention, exposure to those folks. So that, you know, RAD is really an extension of some of the work I've been doing for quite a while. Where it's different, I think where it's really accelerated, you know, our understanding of what it means to run a brick and mortar business. It's not easy. Retail is not easy. You know, we're going through a process of sort of figuring out how to create a sustainable business and business model for RAD. At the same time, we're providing, you know, this platform or this space for other, you know, businesses as well.
One of the things that I have found so interesting as I've learned a little bit more about the different projects that you work on is the fact that you seem to start a new project every 6 months, a year or 2 years, and they don't seem to stop. How do you decide when to start something new and when to set aside a project that's maybe reached the end of its lifespan?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Guns and Butter may be getting to the end of its lifespan. I think I may be getting, maybe retiring from the t-shirt business here pretty soon. But I will say that I just personally, taking a step back and thinking about like where I'm at personally, I've had, you know, so many ideas and so many, you know, thoughts about doing something. Now I'm in a process of just getting those ideas out into the world and seeing, you know, what sticks, what people respond best to. You know, sometimes, you know, it's felt like I've spent most of my life holding on to some of these ideas or some of these visions for my life or for the things I want to see happen. And now I feel like I have to accelerate the process or do as much of this stuff as possible, create as much activity, start as many things as possible, you know, because I've been holding on to them internally, you know, for so long. And now I'm just trying to get them out into the world. And so I don't know. I guess ask me that maybe, you know, in another 6 months of what projects are not necessarily will be around for the long term. But I also, it's not that I can do so many things. I think that I've been very fortunate enough. And this is to your point of like starting something every 6 months to a year. It seems like, oh my God, how do you do all that stuff? Well, it's not necessarily me doing all this stuff and you know, but it's the people that, you know, I've been very fortunate enough to work with and collaborate with in some of these endeavors, you know. Everything that I've done, I've had been fortunate enough and I've learned so much from working with a really good team, you know. People that are, you know, we bring our ideas together, or sometimes people believe in the idea, the vision that I have, and they want to team up. And none of this stuff happens without, you know, working with smart, skilled, but good and genuine people who believe in you know, community and making cool things happen in Iowa City.
I think that this is very demonstrative of the concepts that you talk about of community and collaboration. It almost sounds to me like community and collaboration are the tools that you used to bring your ideas out of the idea space and into reality. How would you encourage someone who has an idea right now to find the right kinds of collaborators and the right community to make that idea happen?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's sort of the always the question that we're answering and that we're trying to figure out and whatnot. I think, you know, what I've, and this is not something, you know, I've figured out. This is what someone told to me. I think it was Amanda West. You know, when I was sort of trying to start a t-shirt line and trying to do other different things, you know, I think she counseled me to have as many conversations as possible with people, you know, in the space, in the field that you're working in, people that have built similar businesses, people that have built any business, people that have, you know, how people that you think will ultimately be your consumers, have as many, you know, conversations, have as many cups of coffee with people, you know, as you possibly can. And through that process, you know, you'll find probably a few collaborators, you'll find probably a few partners, but you'll also refine your idea. You know, you'll strengthen your idea and you'll learn something that you probably didn't know. And I think a lot of people, when they have an idea, they think they have to hold on to it, you know, until it's perfected. They don't want anyone to steal their idea, or they're embarrassed, you know, they don't think it's good enough yet, or, you know, they can't explain it quite perfectly yet. You know, that's okay. You have to get past all of that. For one, the idea that you have is probably not new into the world. You know, someone's probably already thought of it, but what separates you from them, or them from you, is your ability to execute on that idea, to make it something real, right? And then secondly, you can't be afraid to go out there and talk about your ideas and what you want to do, and engage this community and engage people that you think you want to learn from, you want to connect with, that have done similar things, you know, that are in the position that you want to be in at some point. You have to go out there and have those conversations. And if you do that, I think, you know, you'll pick up a few things that will help you, you know, move your idea from the idea space into the real world.
I mean, you did just kind of talk about why it's important to share an idea, even if you are feeling a little bit apprehensive or you're feeling like it's not refined or polished enough yet. So I think that we understand maybe why that's important, but how does someone who has those reservations get over them? How did you get over that reservation?
I don't know. I think sometimes, you know, there's that thing inside of us that won't let us sit on an idea, that thing that motivates us, that drives us. And that's sort of this, you know, I don't know, I mean, that's not a really good answer to your question. But at some point, you just have to make a decision, you know, to take a step forward or to remain, you know, where you're at. And that's kind of like the decision that I made, that I went through. Like, I'm not going to wait for anything to be handed to me. I'm not going to wait for someone to say, okay, now it's your turn. I'm going to go out there and manufacture. I'm going to go out there and physically manipulate, you know, I'm going to go out there and engage with, I'm going to go out there and put my shoulder against the you know, the will and make this stuff happen, you know? And that's the process, and that's the journey that I'm still on, you know, to this day. Darian Bao, who's the former CEO of Men's Style Lab, once said that, you know, when he was first building Men's Style Lab, he was, you know, trying to raise money. So he's pitching to investors, and there were some things he didn't know. And some of those initial meetings with investors didn't go quite well. And he realized he had this knowledge gap in this specific area, you know. So he made a very deliberate, conscious decision to fill his knowledge gap, to read relevant, you know, resources, articles, books, to connect to mentors that might help him, you know, get a better understanding of what he needed, how did he better prepare himself. And I think that's a very important, you know, insight as well. A lot of people, you know, will say you have to just hustle, you have to just grind, but that's not it. You have to hustle smart. You have to hustle efficiently. You have to hustle better. You know, if you don't know something, fill your knowledge gap, proactively, teach yourself, you know, we live in there's no greater time to start a business in the history of the world than it is right now. Well, why is that? Technology has connected us, has lowered the barriers to entry to all different types of things that we want to do, but also information, knowledge, education. You know, if there's something you want to know, gosh, likely if you Google it, you know, you'll be able to figure it out. And I don't know if enough people realize that or really take that to heart, that, you know, just because you don't know something or just because you don't have a particular skill set and you're letting that keep you back, you can fill that knowledge gap. You can fill that skill gap, or you can maybe sometimes partner with someone else who can help you as well.
You know, when you're sitting there and you're looking at all the different projects that you have, how do you manage to maintain the appropriate level of involvement in all the different projects you're working on?
Man, I haven't figured that out yet, to be honest with you, that's a challenge, you know, and that, you know, maintaining my appropriate level of involvement and work on each project is a challenge, but also sort of the work-life balance, you know. I think as entrepreneurs, there's this culture around being an entrepreneur is that you have to, you know, if there's 24 hours in a day, you have to figure out how to get 30 hours out of a work day, you know, that you have to sacrifice, you know, all things, life, relationships, health, you know, in the pursuit of your business. And there's got to be a better way.
I think it's important for people to hear that interesting and engaging and involved people don't have it figured out. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with you saying, you know what, I don't know. And I'm maybe living an unbalanced life during, you know, this 2-week period, this 3-month period or whatever. So I guess then the question is, like, what do you strive for in terms of a balanced life? What does that mean to you?
What makes the most sense to me and what feels right to me right now is this the opportunity to get up every single day and be working on ideas, on projects, on new businesses that I care deeply about. And each and every day to have the opportunity to move the ball forward on those projects. To me, there's no greater sense of fulfillment and purpose in life than that right now. I feel incredibly, you know, fortunate to be able to do that, and that really drives me. That gives me my purpose to have an idea and to work to bring it into existence and to also see it, you know, living. You know, people interacting with the idea, people experiencing something I saw in my head first. Right, that's an amazing feeling to me. And I'll also say that what I try to do. Is every day do something, you know, that moves an idea or the business or forward. Every single day, there's even if it's small, to touch, you know, the idea, to touch the business, to touch the endeavor, to touch the project, in an attempt to move it forward. I haven't mastered that yet, but what I'm trying to do is to create a habit of consistent application of myself to these pursuits, to these ideas, and then becoming more disciplined and more focused and, you know, having that be a habit that's writ large.
What are you most excited about now that RAD has become a reality?
Yeah, I think with RAD specifically, we just have an opportunity to do so many different types of events, programming, work with so many different communities, and to have all of that happen in one space. I think that makes us truly unique, and have that happen in downtown Iowa City. You know, yesterday we had an art installation, and we had all different types of people walking in curious as to, you know, what's happening, what's going on here, you know, young, old, black, white, poor, rich, affluent, you know, you name it. We had just a steady stream of all different types of people coming into this space to check out this installation, which was really cool. You know, or so a couple of weeks ago, we helped launch a new nonprofit, the Eastern Iowa Community Bond Project. So we had, you know, 100 people or so in the space who were there to support this effort to provide, you know, greater security and support for our immigrant population in Iowa. You know, that range of programming, of the different types of people that are coming into the space, I think that's just really exciting to me to see that, and to see the space transform from event to event. But I'm going to plug a future event. What I'm most excited about right this moment, right now, I think is we're soon we're going to be launching a new electronic music festival called Middle of Nowhere, and it'll be the first weekend in September. And so a lot of electronic music, you know, it's what I call bubblegum electronic music. It's the dubstep or the, you know, the bass and all that stuff. What, you know, Iowa City used to have a strong electronic music scene, but it was more techno, experimental, house DJs. Some of those folks have moved on to other cities and whatnot. What we want to do is kind of bring that scene back, invite some of those people back to Iowa City for this event, and just have a good time, but have it be a more mature form of electronic music. So we'll have experimental artists, techno artists, and then house DJs as well. It'll be a really cool time, and it'll be, you know, electronic music is fun, it's dancing. But there's like real artistry, you know, there's a seriousness, and we want to kind of reflect that in this as well. It's the first weekend in September, and it's called Middle of Nowhere.
We sort of frame Command F as an opportunity for people to find and discover new things. And you've talked about several new things already, but if you were going to point listeners in the direction of a particularly interesting person or project, where would you direct them?
That's tough. I don't think there's one person. I think there are several people. And so there are several people I get to work with that I'm impressed with, learned from, inspired by. I think, you know, Veronica Tesler, the owner of Utopia, is someone. Misty Rebick, she's a development director at Planned Parenthood. She does an amazing job there, but she also does so many different things in the community, and is creative in her own sense. You know, Stacy Walker from Linn County, County Supervisor, is doing amazing work. I think Andre Perry at the Englert Theater is someone who's consistently doing amazing, exceptional work, consistently, you know, doing things at a very, very high level. Gosh, there's so many people in this community that are, I would say, hey, you need to pay attention to those folks. Maybe some people that you may not know about, that may be under the radar right now. I think that Natalia Espina and the Eastern Iowa Community Bond Project is a really, really cool thing, but also a very important thing. I think John Engelbrecht, the director at Public Space One. Public Space One has been in a community, you know, art center for 10 years. People should be paying attention to that as well. So,
if our listeners want to support RAD, what is the best way for them to do that?
Come to one of our events. Check us out on Facebook, RAD Inc. Come to one of our events. Check us out. And if you have an idea for an event, get at me. I try to be really accessible. And the odds are that whatever your event, no matter how crazy or you know, simple, you know, we can figure out a way to accommodate you.
Thank you so much for coming on our show today, Simeon. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex.
As always, you can find the show notes for this week's episode at command-f.com/podcast/2. If you want to hear more about RAD Incorporated, or if you're looking for a list of their upcoming events, visit them on Facebook at facebook.com/RAD Incubator. You can hear more from Simeon on Twitter at Simeon Talley. If you have feedback for our show, please reach out to us either on the web or on Twitter at _CMD_F. Thank you very much, and we'll check in with you with our next episode.